Are we being doers here? And that fits right into the mirror with three fingers pointed right back. Are we doing for God? And that should be an encouragement for us from James 1 and 22. Be a doer. That emphasizes our faith is much stronger than just listening. Using your talents and gifts to God's glory. My lesson is based on Matthew 25, and there's six verses there. More than six, actually, for the mathematicians in the room. It's 14 through 30. This is a parable that changed my whole attitude and focus about serving God. I hope it will be an encouragement to many of you who are sitting on the edge about, well, what is this service thing all about? What is this thing about gifting? And what is this that I'm really supposed to be doing? Let me just take us to that passage. It's in your notebook, I hope. 25:14 through 30 from Matthew. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five more talents. So also he had the two talents made two more talents. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the two talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents here, and I've made two more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you can have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've seen this parable going 5 different directions. And I have taken a direction that I hope you can appreciate. I've been lambasted for not serving. I've been criticized for not serving. And they always went to this place. Been criticized for not giving, and they went to this parable. I want to share with you that there is excitement in this beautiful story. Jesus is speaking to us about the nature of his kingdom and how he has given each of us unique gifts and the tremendous potential that lies in you right now with that potential. It's a parable of encouragement and motivation. It's also one of accountability. It reminds me that our lives are filled with many opportunities. And all we have to do is choose an opportunity that we are called or feeling talent given to do. It is one of those things where a buried treasure can be discovered. Would you go to God with me in prayer? Father, I'm coming to you with an open heart, and I seek your guidance and grace this morning as I try to navigate through this lesson. I pray for the strength to bring a clear message with love and to convey your eternal wisdom. May your word be the source of inspiration and guidance this morning. Lord, help us all to embrace your given talents to us. May we live boldly. May we recognize the remarkable potential that lies within each one of us, all as gifts from your loving hand. May we use these gifts to glorify your name and be a light into the world. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And the whole church said, amen. This master entrusted to his servants different talents. In this case, the context is it's a unit of currency. The servants receive more talents. They were asked to invest them, multiply them, and earn praise. However, there was one servant who said, wait a minute, I'm the kind of guy that's going to take care of this. I'm going to give it back to him. I'm going to go bury it. In the New Testament, the word talent is referring to a unit of money, a Roman silver coin, some of the translations will say, whose value differed from region to region. A talent could represent a significant amount of money. One of the studies that I did showed that a talent was what a servant could earn during his lifetime. Daily wage, yearly wage, annual wage. It's what they earned their whole lifetime. The parable of the talents uses the term talent to illustrate the principle that God entrusts his servant, us, with many resources, gifts, and opportunities, and he expects us to use them wisely. The emphasis is not on monetary value of a talent, get this, but on the responsibility and faithfulness of servants like you and me on what we have been given to use to bring God the glory. I believe this passage has given us each unique abilities that we got to find and locate that we need to be using. It encourages us all to be good stewards. It teaches us that we need to be accountable to God and to each other. Neglecting or squandering talents that each of us has is a missed opportunity. I hope this morning that you will be excited about stepping in and just taking the risk to do more to bring God the glory. This passage talks about responsibility in serving God. We need to overcome any fear. We need to be faithful in our service. I want to take us on a journey now that goes a little bit deeper into this discussion about gifts and talents. On your sheet that you're filling out, the first one is, everyone has a gift. Every one of you sitting in this building this morning, you have been gifted by God. You have been blessed, just like we sent the kids out this morning talking about Joshua, who was blessed. And he felt so blessed that he brought somebody on. He played it forward to Caleb. Have you played it forward by simply identifying your talent, your gift, and then using it to bring God the glory? In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in the various forms. This verse is a great emphasis that our gifts should be used to serve not grudgingly, but with a joyful heart. Serving is an act of worship and a reflection of God's love within us. In Romans 12, 6 and 8, we all have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophecy, then use it. If your gift is service, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's leading, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. God has given each believer, us, different spiritual gifts as an expression of His grace. We should not avoid finding out what those gifts are that He's given us. They can't be bad because He gave them to us. Our job is to get off and look for them and then start using them. The purpose of these gifts is to serve and build up the body of Christ and each one of the servants in His body. This verse encourages us to recognize clearly that we have unique gifts and we can make God's family better by using them. If we are diligent, if we are joyful, and we know Satan's going to bring everything on us, but we still need to be using these talents. So you're saying, okay, you're talking about these spiritual gifts. I don't even know what they are. Well, I tell you what, since we don't have time this morning to go through 22 of them that I've found, I've got some ushers that are going to hand out a tip sheet to you this morning that gives you some references so you can have in your study book 22 spiritual gifts that you can look at and evaluate and see, well, wait a minute, I didn't know that was a gift. I know I can do that. Take it, because one of the next steps I want you to do is take some time to discover your gifts and talented. So we know that everyone has a gift. You need to be asking yourself, what is my gift? I ran from it for 53 years trying to avoid Jesus Christ in my life. And a great friend of mine said to me one day, what do you think you're doing? And it all centered around an encouraging word to seek and find what my gifts were. I'm just an 87% old fat boy who is not talented in any way, except I feel that God has given me the gift. And I'm trying to identify every day what they are. And some days it's great, some days it's not so great. I ask you to do the same thing. Let's start looking for what your gift is. Don't run from it. Ask, here are some ways that you can do it. Start with prayer. Matthew 7:7. Tell us to ask, seek, and knock. We can pray about and seek out our talents. God can give us wisdom about what our talents are. We can trust the Holy Spirit to lead us on this journey of finding our gifts. Ask others. Remember that the process of identifying God's gifts and talents is not, oh, I got it. I don't have to look anymore. If you're looking, you're on a journey to keep looking. You're on a journey to improve what you know is your giftedness. Don't stop. Keep looking. You can ask those friends of yours around you. Consult with your friends. What do you think my talent is? They'll tell you. Ask your elders, what do you think I need to be doing? Ask the minister. Ask, ask, ask. Above all, ask God, and you will get the answer. I also want us to be able to pay attention to what you enjoy doing. Paying attention honestly, is a valuable gift because it requires us to listen. It requires us to look each other in the eye and pay attention to what's being said. And if you simply do that, I will assure you that it will bring out in the conversation that endures where some of your talents and gifts may be. This church is diverse in so many ways. There are so many volunteers who've already stepped in and taking the risk of asking, of evaluating and assessing. Are you ready to do that? Here's another little tidbit, a tactic that my friend gave me. And for my family, you'll... This is Bill Doherty. Bill said to me, "Notice when time flies. What are you doing when time flies? You're doing something that that you enjoy doing. And if you will get engaged with something that you enjoy doing, God will bless you with doing that." So I encourage you to look around at what it is that you're enjoying doing, and maybe you could share that with your friends, with your neighbors, and practice doing it more. And then listen to their feedback and grow from that feedback. I want to us always remember to praise God for being the source giver of our talents. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 4 through 7, there are different kinds of talent, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord gives them. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work through you. Now, in each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, and it's all for the common good. When we praise God for being our source giver of our talents, it informs us to adjust our attitude and get on with doing God's work. And that's what we ought to be doing. Church, we ought to be doing more than being a consumer. James, the first verse, chapter, verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Bill Hemphill is one of my great mentors who's always saying to me, "Are we being doers here?" And that fits right into the mirror with three fingers pointed right back. Are we doing for God? And that should be an encouragement for us from James 1 and 22. Be a doer. That emphasizes our faith is much stronger than just listening. It's got to be reflected through our actions. How do we do that? Spend time in the Word. Come be with God. Pray for guidance. Identify those specific areas in our lives, as I've talked about, that can help grow the church, that can help you be joyful in serving. It comes down to we need to volunteer the use of our strengths and talents. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in various forms. These verses make it loud and clear that our abilities are not to self-promote, but to serve and stewardship gleams and glows through our efforts. It will bring spiritual growth for sure. It will bring excitement more than there is now to this family because The next technique is, let's practice. Let's get on with recognizing that talents do not develop instantly. This is not a Jiffy Lube place. This is not a shake and bake place. We are on a journey, and we can practice using our talents. We also need to look for opportunities. Serving God does not always require grand gestures. Consistent acts of service in our daily life can make a profound impact not only on your friends and your family, but on yourself. God puts you in places to look. He puts opportunities in front of you. Be open to those opportunities. Some of them will bring divine opportunities. All of them are sent by God. Don't avoid them. So the question is, how are you going to first identify your gifts, talents, and how then are you going to use them to glorify as a member here in this church and the mission that we're on to be passionate followers of Christ? Well, here's some ideas. Don't do it alone. Team up with a friend. Every one of you has friends in this place and outside this place. Team up with them. Don't do it alone. As I've mentioned, ask and volunteer. If you approach Monty or John or Chris or me at any time and say, "What could you think I need to be doing here?" We would help you find what needs to be done by you. Get out of your comfort zone. I had a boss one time that told me you need to quit reading your press clippings and wearing the same tennis shoes. Well, what does that mean? You need to quit being comfortable. Get out, take a risk, and do more. Guess what? Y'all need to really, really pay attention right now, because I'm going to share something with you. I've been waiting all week, and the elders blessed me last night to do this. Talk about getting out of your comfort zone, okay? I know you're all going, "Well, what does that really mean, to get out of your comfort zone?" Well, guess what? I got something I want to share that'll answer that question. My heart raced a little faster when I put the letter in the mailbox this morning. My family, friends, and co-workers are all thrilled by the news. I'm going to miss them dearly, but I'm excited to see what the future holds. Our God is good. He has carried me through life this far, and I know that He will continue to guide me. I decided that if this is where God wants me to be, then I'll listen to Him and move to Tampa. I believe that everything in my life has led me to this moment to be with y'all down there. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous, because I want to do right by God and y'all. I have a little anxiety about it. I am worthy of such honor at all. My phone's ringing. After all, I am just a Sunday school teacher from Roane, Georgia. So I tell myself, I know what God sees me as more than I see myself. People have been telling me that for years, but it has always been something I ran away from and struggled with. But with all the support and love that I've gotten from you guys, my friends and family back home, and our Savior God, I know that things will be more than okay. I believe that God is bringing us together. Please tell the church that I'm beyond grateful to accept the opportunity to be their associate minister in Tampa, Florida. I cannot wait to move there and be with them. Is that cool? I mean, that's God at work. It's time to end. We got people in children's church who are going, Shackelford, we're finished with our lesson. Finish with yours. I want to leave you with a reminder that our talents are not accidental. They're God's, given intentionally to you and to me. They're not meant to be buried, church. They're to be used. When we invest our talents in the service of God, we not only bring about joy, we bring about uplift and success for the glory of God. Let's get out of here today and go forth and be empowered by the word that you heard this morning from God. If you got a gift, identify it and then use it. If you don't know what your gift is, we'll help you use and find, or find and use. But please, let's promise each other that we're going to be courageous, we're going to be faithful, because God is in control. Amen. And he's got us on a journey. He's got this place on fire, growing. We had 2-3 weeks of people coming to be new members. We're well up over 30 new members now. We got 70% participation. We're not the 80-20 rule that Bill and many of us grew up with, where you got 20% of the church doing 80% of the work. That ain't happening at North Tampa, because you already are engaged. Let's just get engaged more, okay? Lutz, Tampa, Wesley Chapel, the whole area needs every one of us to get on board with being a God servant using the talents that we've been given. Let's do this for God to receive the glory. May you be blessed this morning. May your talents just be examples through your attention and your detail to getting the job done. Thank you for your attendance and your patience and listening for an oh God this morning. I hope God spoke to you, not me. We have an invitation song that Brian's going to be leading, and it's all about for those who need prayer. It's about those of you who want to obey the gospel. You've heard the word, you believe in God, you're ready to repent and confess, and you're ready to get up here and go on the journey by doing what Jesus Christ did. And that was, although he didn't need to do it, he was immersed in baptism. The invitation is yours. Please join and come if you need to as we stand and sing.